Moving right through hour number two, we are joined by the head football coach at Clemson. He is entering his 11th full season at Clemson. He won National Coach of the Year honors from at least one organization in five of the last 7 years. Led the Tigers to five ACC titles and two national titles last season. Became the first team in the modern era to go 15-0. Number 12, Texas A&M is at top-ranked Clemson on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Dabo Swinney is my guest. Dabo, it's so nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you today?
Good, Dabo. Great to have you. So you're coming off that win over Georgia Tech, 52-14 on Thursday night. Travis Etienne turned in a monster game. Dabo, every season is different. So what did you make of how your guys handled business last week?
Well, I was very encouraged because they were ready. There was great energy. The guys were focused, you know, especially when you look at some of the openers across the country and you see a lot of, you know, just kind of first game sloppiness. I thought we played a relatively clean game for a first game, especially I don't know that I've ever been into a game more blind than that one because we really had no tape and, you know, so we spent our whole prep time studying Temple. And so just preparing for a lot that we thought they might do and a lot of what they could do. But at the end of the day, our guys did a nice job. We had a lot of situational stuff come up. Defensively, we answered the bell after some turnovers and held them to 0 points after turnovers. We got a goal line stop. So there was a lot of positives there. And then offensively, you know, they just kind of came in, I think, with the plan of see if we would run the ball and be patient in between the tackles. And so once we kind of settled in, you know, we rushed for 411, and Travis had an unbelievable day. And it wasn't a big day to throw the ball around, but just a very sound win against an ACC team. And so I was very encouraged, and something that we still made enough mistakes where we could come in and have a lot to teach from and correct. And refocus on getting ready for a huge challenge this week.
Dabo Swinney joining us. I was going to say you've got a huge challenge this week in Texas A&M. And one of the things you've talked about in relation to last year's game against A&M is the feeling that there were some missed opportunities on defense and too many times where your DBs had their eyes in the wrong place. So how have you gone about addressing that this week?
Well, that, you know, that's why I like playing these games early because these games will expose you. And whether you win it or you lose it, it helps you get better for the course of the season. That's just what I believe. And, you know, we were very fortunate to win that game last year. And, you know, we fumbled the ball on the goal line. We're up 21-3, and we fumbled the snap on the one. And next thing you know, they go down and score, and momentum kind of changes, and we got our hands on two or three balls that we don't catch. One of them goes right through our hands, and they catch it for a touchdown at the end of the game there. So there was, and then we had a lot of busted coverages. And, you know, last year we opened up with Furman, and they ran the option. So that, and we didn't know much about Texas A&M, their first season. And they exposed us because we were young in the secondary, inexperienced, and it showed in that game. They didn't run the ball very well, but they threw all over us. So I think, but what that game did was helped us get better for the course of the season, and we did. And by the end of the year, we were a really, really good group and one of, you know, top defenses in the country. And so that's the way I look at this game. I think we're much improved on the back end. Our back seven, I think, is much better at this point than we were last year. Much more experienced, so hopefully that will show. We're not quite as good up front simply because we just don't have the veterans that we had last year. So the ability to try to see if we can slow them down running the ball will be a key factor in this game. It's going to be exciting, you know. And same thing offensively, going against a really good defense and all the different looks that they give, especially on third down, that's going to help us, you know, grow our team. We have 80 freshmen and sophomores, 40 first-year guys that weren't on the team last year. So this is one of those games early that I think pays huge dividends as you go through the course of the season.
Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney joins us. So offensively, you and I have talked in the past about Trevor Lawrence and what he was able to do as a freshman. So how different is he as a quarterback now versus this time last year or even since the end of last season?
Yeah, night and day. first of all, this game he only played. I think he had 9 pass attempts, maybe. I think Justin Ross played 1 snap, and I think ETN only had 8 carries. So I'm not sure what we were thinking, but anyway, we found a way to win it. But he's just a smarter, more mature, physically better prepared player than he was at any point last year. He really worked his tail off in the offseason. He's about 220 now. He's much stronger. All his explosive measurables are up. You saw that last week. He made some really average 8 yards a carry. Really did a nice job with his legs. And that's the big thing that we want from him. You know, a couple things. Physically get better. We wanted him to assert himself as the leader. This time last year, he was just trying to go win the job. And now he is the leader and really asserting himself that way in the spring and the offseason. He's doing that. And then just a few things, just complete ownership of the protections, some footwork things in our run game that he's worked hard on. And then for me in particular, I felt like there were some times last year, and toward the end of the year, he really was better. But there were some times last year where I thought he could have extended some plays with his legs and also made some plays with his legs, you know, 2nd and 10 and, you know, make it 3rd and 5 by taking the 5 yards that's there. And then also his ability to make throws on the run when he extends plays and creates and buys some time, he's very dangerous. And I've seen a lot of growth in that. He's just very confident and poised. And so I think you're going to see him have a great year. And just such a humble young man that's got his head on right and is a great leader for this team.
We're talking to Dabo Swinney. I mean, he obviously is incredibly special. And then you look around the country, and there's so many more freshmen that come in and contribute right away. Earlier this week, Dabo, you were talking about how the game has changed since you were playing and really how much life has changed. You had a great quote that I want to read back. Quote, "You didn't just throw the ball a lot in those days, but you didn't have Fortnite. You didn't have all these games and iTunes and social media. You just didn't have that. I mean, what the heck was I going to do when I went home? What was I going to do? I mean, sit there, look at the wall, got 3 channels. You got Lawrence Welk, you got Hee Haw, you got Happy Days. That's what you got," end quote. I remember those days, Dabo, very clearly. Is there any part of you that ever wishes for the days of 3 channels or staring at the wall? Those were very simpler times.
Yeah, and I've always been, you know, less is more kind of a guy. But there's blessings in all of the stuff, too. I mean, you know, the technology and things have really improved a lot of quality of life and things, and a lot of it's good. But I mean, literally, I think the first time I ever had cable TV was 9th to 10th grade in high school. I mean, so you had 3 channels, and I didn't know what a remote control was. I mean, I was the remote control. My dad would say, "Go turn the channel," and you know, so that's just how I grew up. And you played ball. There was nothing else to do. And so the reason the game has changed, it was a long answer to the question, but, you know, these high school coaches had to find a way to survive. There was no year-round baseball, year-round basketball. Heck, I might not have played football if I had year-round basketball in those days. And now you have lacrosse, you have all these different options for kids, not to mention the social media and the temptations and just the busyness that they have every day without doing anything. And so coaches had to change the game. And that's why the emergence of 7-on-7s and you know, getting the best athletes to come back out and play because they were staying on the basketball court. They were staying on the baseball field because, you know, they didn't want to go out there and you know, do the Oklahoma drill every day or run the option or run the I-formation. And so the game changed and evolved, and I think it came up into colleges, and now the pool that the pros have is what you see in colleges, and so now you see the influence at the NFL level. And so the game has changed. I think it's a safer game for sure, but I think some of these kids that have been, like Trevor, who's been starting since the 9th grade, and he's been, you know, coached to the nth degree, they're just more prepared to make that transition when they get to college.
I was talking to Jordan Palmer about that very thing on my podcast yesterday. So, Dabble, one quick thought. Because of the success you've had, coaches in every sport have reached out to learn from you. Eric Spoelstra of the Miami Heat says some of my favorite phone calls are when we get on the horn and talk shop about coaching. You know, in about 90 seconds or so, what are those conversations with him and other coaches like, and what do you take from them?
Well, first of all, I'm always very humbled when somebody reaches out to me, but I'm always blown away that they even know who the heck I am. I love that because they're calling me and they want to ask me my thoughts on certain things, but I can't wait to get their thoughts because I see it as an opportunity to learn. I'm always trying to get better, and I love, you know, I'm a relationship guy, so I love meeting new people. So we talk about, you know, sports are different, but you're dealing with people. You're dealing with leadership and motivation and discipline and expectations and culture. All of those things translate regardless of whether it's sports or business or whatever.
He is the head football coach at Clemson, entering his 11th full season. They've got a big challenge coming up on Saturday. They are top-ranked, and they're hosting Texas A&M, who is number 12. Dabo Swinney is my guest. Dabo, speaking of relationships, I always appreciate this one. So good to have you back on the show, Dabo. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Always good to be with you. Take care.
You too. Good luck this weekend. There's nobody like him. Dabo's so good. Like he's so good on so many different levels. But even when I said at the very end, I've got 90 seconds. Can I just hit this? Got in, got out, hit his cue, nailed that post. And so easy to talk to and so interesting. And, yeah, I mean, I hate to date me and I hate to date him. I don't know, like, depends on where you grew up. I don't remember there being only three channels. But I do remember exactly what he's saying. Like, he's like, remote control? I didn't know what that was. I was the remote control. My dad said, go change the channel. You know, you had channel 2, you had channel 4, you had channel 5, you had channel 7, you had channel 9, you had 11, you had 13. That's pretty much what you had. And yes, you had Hee Haw. Never want to watch Hee Haw. Had no need for that. Now, Happy Days, that's different, man. I was all about that. As a kid, that Tuesday night block was so awesome.